Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, let me ask you this question. Do you remember that day when you left home some years ago, and maybe before you left home, your mom and dad sat down with you and they said, "Now I want you to remember, son or daughter, never forget who you are. Never forget what I've taught you. Always remember wherever you go, never to forget the value system of this household." And you went away, and you know, you may have gone some distance or some to some other location, but you'll never forget that conversation that your parents had with you, because they wanted you to remember that you're there for a difference. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is gathering his disciples together, and he is teaching them, and he's wanting them to remember, because he knows that there's going to come a time that he's going to ascend back to the Father. What happens in their life on the face of the earth will happen to humanity, will happen to the rest of the world. What happened in its early disciples will determine the future of the earth. What happens in your life and my life as men and women of God will determine the history of this world where we're living. The Father has put you in this world and on this earth. But let me ask you another question. Can the Father look at your life and declare you are being salt of the earth, you're being the light of the world? Or would the Father have to say this about your life? You've thrown away what I've done in your life. There was a time in your life when you used to be salt. You used to be the flavoring in your home. You used to be the light in the world. But something has radically changed in your life. The Bible says these words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, and I want to camp on verse 13 for this morning's message. "And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I want you to go back to verse 13, and I want to look at verse 13as our time together this morning. I want you to think with me on this message, the call to be God's seasoning. Jesus had gathered the disciples together, and as I shared with you, he knew he was going to go away. He knew that there was going to come a time he was going to ascend back to the Father. And he gathers them together there, and he says, "I want you to understand you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I want you to follow along in your outline, because I want you to listen very carefully to what the Father has to say to your life and to mine this morning. Because the Bible makes it very clear that we're saved to be God's seasoning. Now, if you're not a child of God, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're not the seasoning of God. And the Bible makes it very clear that you're outside of the family of God, and you face a time in your life, if you die without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that you'll be eternally separated from Him. And Jesus isn't talking to those, but He's talking to those that are His disciples. And He makes it very clear to these precious saints of God. He said, I want you to understand you are saved to be the seasoning of God. Have you ever thought about the salt that you and I use? Now, that's not the type of salt that Jesus is referring to. Jesus is referring to a salt in his day and time that was very common, very familiar to them. You'd find it in the Dead Sea. You'd find it in a lot of places. And it was really what we would call more sea salt now in our day and time. Jesus made it very clear to these disciples. He said, I want you to understand the salvation of God is the call to you to be seasoning. I want you to look in the very first words of verse 13. The very first word that Jesus states in verse 13 is ye or you. In other words, God the Father always affects a world through people of God. You and I literally affect a world through being the salt of God. You may not think about where you go and what you do and how much you impact the world, but the Bible makes it very clear. The Father of heaven watches your life. And wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you get your life involved with, if you're a child of God being faithful to him, you affect it in a very positive way. The disciples of Jesus' time, they were very few. Think about it. There was a watching world in front of them. There are a few disciples. They had very little money, very little resources, and they were very uneducated men. They really had no thing to bring to God. But they were men in whom they would listen to Jesus. Jesus made it clear, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. I have sent you out to be my disciples. That is the same mandate that the Father has given to you and me. The Bible makes it very clear that you and I have been given a directive. He's called you and me to be the salt. Now, even referring to little old table salt. Have you ever had a bad meal? And you can take a little bit of that NaCl, sodium chloride's what we called it. And you can get that out and you can pour it on maybe a steak that's not too good and it sort of flavors it up. Or you can put it on some bland green beans or you can put it in some soup beans that haven't been flavored just right. And you can sort of change that taste to make it palatable. Listen, Jesus makes it very clear to you and me. The Bible says salt by its nature is distinct. Watch carefully what it says. You know, one reality about the very nature of salt is simply this. It is distinct. I mean, you can tell salt from anything else in the mineral world that God has created. If you're saved by the grace of God in your home, you're called to be salt. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, there's no compromise with true salt. One of the reasons of our culture, could it be that we're becoming so compromising? Could it be that the world is stinking because of Christians that are compromising? You see, if any of you, many of you know about the old days and you'd have some, you'd have a smokehouse and you'd slaughter a pig and you'd bathe that pig with salt. Can you imagine if you didn't put salt on that pig? That hog, whatever it was, you put it in the smokehouse. How many of you have had a part in that? I have. Raise your hand if you, all right. You slaughter that pig, put it in the smokehouse. Looks ugly, don't it? You bathe it with that salt, but then you fix some good old pork chops. And you fix some eggs to go with it, or you fix something else. And that salt has preserved that food. Jesus said, you're the preservative. You and you alone are the preservative to the world. You're the preservative to the nation. Do you realize in this building this morning is the preservative before holy God? The Bible says you are the salt if you're the redeemed of God, if you're saved by the grace of God. You are the preservative. You see, salt doesn't try to affect food. It just does. Wherever you go in your walk before God, if you make it your business to be the man of God, to be the woman of God in your home, you'll make that home a different place. You know why? Because obedience to God will be paramount. You find in a home where there is a dad that is obedient to God, where there is a mom that's obedient to God, obedient to the commands of God, there is going to be the touch of heaven in that home. There is going to be the touch of heaven. There's going to be a child that's going to be affected positively. And you see, so it is with the man or the woman of God. Wherever you live, Jesus said to the disciples, you're salt. He said, you are. Think about this. 2,000 years has come and gone. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say the salt of heaven. You're the salt. You and you alone are the preservative to earth. You and you alone are the preservative to the society that you and I live in. I was reading yesterday some of the history of some of our institutions and how they were founded. You'd be amazed to read the principles of Harvard. One of the main principles of Harvard back in the early 1600s, that the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be its main theme. Most of our institutions at the very beginning of time for the propagation of the gospel. Listen, Jesus doesn't tell you try to be different. It doesn't tell you to try to act different. You see, there's something about that man or that woman of God, they just are different. The Bible makes it very clear. You know, salt's a preservative. That's its effect. You know, you preserve the society, you preserve the time we're in, you preserve the world. If we don't, God gives a clear indictment as to what will happen. You see, one of the horrible mistakes we make as children of God, we think that salvation is primarily a fire escape from hell. Now, listen to me very carefully. When you're saved, yes, you're saved from hell. That's absolutely true. But Jesus told his disciples, he knew what the world was going to be like. He knew what was going to happen in the world. But he made it very clear to the children of God coming down through the ages of time. He said, you children of God, man of God, woman of God, you're the salt of the earth. The Bible makes it very clear. You see, the entire world is impacted by one person's salt. Have you ever thought about the power of one person's life? You say, well, I can't really make that much of a difference. You and I have been blessed. If you was here for our revival meeting this past week, we were blessed and we were touched by the hand of God. But what I was so excited was to see one man totally committing his life to Jesus Christ to be the preacher of God. And as I sat and listened to God's servant and Brother Ferguson, I thought, and as I got to meet him privately, he was the salt. He's the salt in his community. He's the salt in his home. He's the salt in his environment. Listen to what the Bible makes it very clear. Where there is a man or a woman that is the salt, there is a change. Think about it for just a moment. The world was ungodly in Noah's time, just like it is in our time. But the Bible says here is one man, Noah, that found favor with God. He made it very clear in his own life that he was going to be salt. He was going to be the man of God, pleasing to God. He was going to be distinctively different. Irregardless of what society did and did not do, he was going to be the salt in his day and time. Can the Father say that about you? Can the Father say about your life, no matter come what may, in your home, in your environment, that you're the salt, and God can look at your home and look at your life, and he can favor wherever you go because of your life? You see, there's power in one person's salt. Watch carefully what happens in Noah's time. The Bible says Noah, one man, Noah, found favor in the sight of God. God didn't look at the world. The entire world was wicked before the Father. God looked at Noah's life. His was enough to save the world. His was enough to save a wicked, a society of humanity. Now think about it a moment. In the life of Noah, he was obedient. He was a salt in his day and time. Listen, it's not real easy to be salt sometimes. It's not easy to be salt in the home when you stand on values and your kids say, Mom, everybody else is doing it. Dad, everybody else is doing it. Why won't you let me do this? And why won't you let me do that? It's not always easy to be salt. It's not always easy to give counsel and direction to your children or to somebody else in which you know they're not going to appreciate it because it's the foundational principles of Scripture, but you are the salt. That's what the Father says. Now, salt is a preservative, and salt adds a lot of flavoring. You've tasted some bad food in your lifetime, and just a little bit of salt would have helped it. Just a little bit of salt. You see, the Father says about your life and about my life, we're the salt. I want you to notice one man by the name of Joseph. Here's Joseph at the age of 30 years of age, by the age of some of you. Here's a woman that says, why don't you go to bed with me, Joseph? Why don't you just go to bed one night? Nobody will care. Nobody's interested in what you do. Why don't you just go to bed with me one night and let's have a little premarital sex, or let's just have a little sex. Nobody will really care. Joseph cared about being salt. He cared about being salt in his day and his time and being the man of God that God had purposed him to be. And he made it his business to be obedient to the living God. And as he obeyed God, the Bible says at the age of 30, God looked at his life and God positioned him on a position and put him on the throne, second in command to Pharaoh. Why? Because it was a big deal to him to be the salt in his society. The Bible makes it very clear. The seasoning of Moses' life. Moses' life. Can you imagine leading 2 million people? Every one of them probably lived in harmony with one another. No. Can you imagine 2 million? Can you imagine having a family of 2 million? Moses out front leading. He was the salt of God. Now listen to me very carefully. Why is this such a big deal? Because we're a society that is slowly ruining. We're a society that is slowly decaying. We're a society in which so many things go in the normal, natural home anymore. It is unbelievable. Jesus made it very clear. He said, you're the salt. You know, the truth about it is so many are losing their flavor. But why? You know, one of the reasons is rebellion. Rebellion just simply says, I'm not going to obey God. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you're saved by the grace of God, he's called you to be salt. He's called you to be his seasoning. But let me just ask you this question. I answer it with the bottom of your heart. Is your home rotting right in front of your eyes? You don't understand what's going on with the kids. You don't understand what's going on with the grandkids. You just don't understand what's going on. And you think, why in the world is everything in a disarray in my house? Why is everything disarray? Why don't my children mind me anymore? Why don't my grandchildren listen to me anymore? Why do all these things happen in my life? Have you chosen not to be salt? You see, what Jesus said to the disciples is, you are called to be salt. You are salt, but you can option out of being salt. We can option out by rebellion. And the world is filled with rebellious believers. Rebellious men and women saved by the grace of God. But Christ does not have their life. Does Christ have your life? It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to give your life completely to Christ. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. The call of God is to be salt. And you know, so much rebellion. And then another thing that happens, just moral impurity. What goes on in your private life where nobody sees and nobody knows and nobody watches? Nobody's going to watch me do this. Nobody's going to see me do this. Nobody knows what's going on. You see, the sobering truth about it is God watches a land, and when people discontinue being salt, the land is filled with rottenness, filled with filth. And all of a sudden, they wonder what happened. You see, the Bible says, you know, when he was talking about rebellion and immorality, you know, compromise. Jesus is reminding you and me, and you look over in the New Testament, you look in the life of Ananias and Sapphira, and you find in two individuals a life of compromise. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to listen. We've been in revival meeting this past week. The hand of the Father has been with us. Let me ask you this. Have you honestly experienced a renewal of obedience to the living God? You see, renewal of obedience says, Lord God, it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to obey you. Life without compromise. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. The greatest danger is for saints to pretend something has happened and it hasn't. Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what, we're going to give our money, all of it. We've experienced the touch of God in our life. In Acts chapter 2, the tremendous Spirit of God was upon the people of God. In Acts chapter 4, you find, 4 and 5, you find Ananias and Sapphira lying to God. And they pretended compromise. You see, one of the things about revival is this. And if it doesn't happen in our land, I want you to listen. And you've heard me say it before, but it's so important. If revival doesn't come, we are gone. If revival doesn't come, we're gone. Because I'll show you what happens. Watch what happens. Look at number 3 in your outline. It is completely possible to be saved and lose your seasoning. The very words of Jesus is, if the salt loses its seasoning. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. But it is totally possible to be saved and lose your seasoning. You know, seasoning, you know, lose your salt. In other words, to lose your distinctiveness as a child of God. What is obedience to God? Just answer this in your own heart. Don't answer it out loud. Is obedience to God a big thing in your life? Is obedience to His Word an issue in your spirit? And you see, Jesus makes it very clear. How is it that people lose their saltiness? Well, there are just two ways I want you to look at. By taking lightly the Word of God. Do you know what happened in Ananias and Sapphira's life? They took lightly the Word of God. You know, over the period of years, here's what happens. So many individuals take lightly the Word of God. You know, you think about Jonah. God came to Jonah and He said, I'm going to give you an assignment and I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. He took lightly the Word of God. He didn't obey the living God. And the Bible says that God allowed a whale to swallow him up. The Bible says that God allowed his life to be in disarray over and over and over again. Not only in Jonah's life, but you look at Ananias and Sapphira's life. You know, Ananias and Sapphira's life, and they disobeyed the living God, and they ended up dead. It is totally possible to be saved and your life just be in disarray because taking lightly the Word of God. You see, when you take lightly the Word of God, here's the first thing that doesn't happen. You don't open the Word of God. You don't read the Word of God. You don't study the Word of God. And then you wonder why all hell breaks loose. You see, not only that, but secondly, a love for the world. You know, love for the world and all that it has in it. If you desire the love of the world as a believer, you've lost your salt. If you desire things over and above a relationship with the living God, you're positioned to lose your salt. And God will pronounce an indictment over your life. The Father will pronounce an indictment over you. And here's what will happen. You may be saved in your home, but your kids don't want to have anything to do with you. They don't listen to you. Others won't listen to you because there's nothing about you worth listening to. Because you've lost your salt. You see, there's a man in the New Testament. I think about him many times. His name is Demas. The Bible says on one occasion, Paul was serving with Demas, and as Demas was serving alongside of Paul, they was in ministry together. They was working for the Lord. They was following the Lord, obeying the Lord. But yet, you find in another passage of Scripture, in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible records these words, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas has forsaken me. You say, well, Demas was a lost person. No, he wasn't. Demas was a saved man of God. He's going to heaven at death, but the Bible says that he loved the world. Would the Spirit of God bear witness to your spirit that you love the world? I want the world. I want money. I want the possessions of this life. I want the things that this world can give me. That is my craving. That's what I'm living for. I'm living for a bigger job. I'm living for a better job. That's what turns me on. That's what absolutely makes me go. That's what absolutely makes me tick. The Bible says, if you're a child of God, and that's what gravitates your life, and that's what turns your life, the Bible says that you are poised to lose your complete saltness and simply to be cast out of foot, and men just trample over you. That's what the Bible says. Why is it that so many Christians can never lead anybody to faith in Christ? Because they love the world. Why is it so many believers really struggle with obedience? Because they love the world. Jesus said, you can't love two people. You're going to die one of two ways. I want you to listen. You will die either loving God or loving the world. There are no other options. You'll die either loving God or loving the world. You say, well, God's hard on you. No, He's not. The more I know about my Heavenly Father, the more I'm so glad there's grace. You remember your life and where you come from and some of the things we've done in our lives? Oh, He is such a God of grace. But He told the disciples, He made it very clear. You see, here's a saved man, Demas, saved, but the last record of Scripture is this: he loves the world. I'm not here to patronize. I'm here to be the servant of God. I want to ask you this simple question. Will you die loving God or loving the world? You're a member of Faith Baptist Church. Will you die loving God or loving the world? Are you losing your saltness? Nobody wants to listen to you. You're not affecting anybody for good or for God. Listen to what he says in the last. This is so sobering and so heart-wrenching. Look at the results of a seasonless life. You know, sometimes we get in crisis and we get in emergency and we say, well, I'm just going to cry out to God. I want you to listen to me real carefully. You can get your life in a situation where the Father won't even listen to you or turn to you. Listen to what the Bible says. In Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, say it with me, will not hear me. Didn't say that he wouldn't cease to be God or that he wouldn't hear other Christians, but the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if you regard sin in your life, if you decide that you want to love the things of the world, the Bible says that's sin. Can you imagine being in a crisis in your life, being in an emergency in your life? Your child is sick and maybe they've had an accident and their life is dependent upon prayer. They've just been hit head on or something like that. And the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Father will not hear me. Listen, you say, well, sure, He'll hear my prayer. You will never violate the holy word of God. The Bible makes it very clear. There is no hearing from God. When you choose to stop being salt, because it's a choice, there's no hearing from God. Can you imagine how many people you love and you know and you'd love to see come to faith in Jesus Christ? But are you losing your salt? You're not distinct. You was talked about your belief system, You'd cave in. Now, I'm not trying to hurt you, but listen. Every one of us in this building, there is enough in this building to affect the universe before a holy God. You know, the Bible says, secondly, there's no godly effect in the home. Sometimes I'll see a person saved by the grace of God, and they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I just don't understand what's happening in my home. Children drinking, maybe on drugs, and different things going on. And I listen to them for a little while, and after a while, it's sort of revealed. They're not being salt. You see, God made it very clear. If we're not salt, it's over. If you can't be changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's nothing left be changed by. Amen? That's it. If you're not changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, if his call and command to be obedient, and you see the thing about it is, so many parents have refused to be salt. Oh, I'm so glad for a dad that was salt. I didn't like it certain times. He was salt in his discipline. He let me know very quickly who was dad. You know those days. You disobeyed, and I never asked Dad, I said, Dad, is this right or wrong? He'd make it very clear. He'd tell me. And from time to time, he would say, son, we need to go to the basement. I hate basements. I've said that before, and I don't have a basement now. But that was where Dad went down, and he said, son, I want to show you I'm salt. I won't tolerate your rebellion. I won't tolerate disobedience because I know that it will ruin your life. I know that it will devastate you. And I want you to be what God's purpose for your life. Now listen very carefully. Look at our world. Just back up for a minute and look at it. Just look at children growing up. Look at home environments. Look at what's happening in our world system, in our school system, and all over. Jesus said, your call is to be salt. Your call is to be the salt of the earth. And you see, what happens is this. When you're not the salt, your life's wasted. I want you to listen to that word, waste. Can you imagine living a completely wasted life? You say, well, I just don't know about that. I want you to listen to the scripture again. Turn back to Matthew, and I want you to listen to verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for, say it with me, nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Could it be? Are you allowing your life to be a life of waste before both God and men? You see, Jesus never says anything by chance, by happenstance. He says, Benny, if you're not salt, you're poised to have a wasted life. Sir, ma'am, if you're not salt in your home, I'm not talking about being hard, harsh, dogmatic, domineering. No, that's not what salt is. Salt is a wonderful flavoring in the home. I think about wonderful flavoring, and I just can't help but think about Joyce as she sits right here and just see so many she's affected with her life that are here this morning. The Bible makes it very clear that one person has enough seasoning to affect change. One person has enough seasoning to affect lives. Jesus said, you're the salt. You know, it's amazing how many people are in heaven because of one person's obedience. How many people are in heaven because of one Sunday school teacher's faithfulness? How many people are in heaven because of one person? Jesus made it very clear. Let me ask you a question. Who will be in heaven because of you? Who will be in heaven because of your salty life, seasoning life, a life lived before God and before others in obedience? You're walking a walk, and maybe you realize this morning, my home is messed up because I'm not being salt. Jesus said when you discontinue being salt, he didn't say you're good for a few other things. He said you're good for nothing. That's the words of holy Jesus. That's the words that he says to your life and to my life. If I refuse to be salt, have you ever seen a useless preacher? Don't you dare answer that. Have you ever seen a preacher you don't want to be around? Have you ever seen somebody that used to go to church? They used to sing in the choir. They used to. And you just assume they not come around you because to you, they're good for nothing. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to listen to them. Don't want to be around them. What are you? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you redeemed by His precious Holy Spirit? By the shed blood of Christ? You see, 2,000 years have come and gone, but will 2 more years or 5 more years or 100 more years come or go? What will the Father say about your life? What will the Father, once you leave this world and walk out into eternity, what will He say about you, Dad? Man, how you seasoned your home with love and grace and kindness and mercy. How you seasoned your home, Mom, with that tenderness and that compassion and with the truth of obedience to God. You know what you'll do? You'll be able to look back at your children. This morning in preparation for today, I opened a desk drawer in my office, and as I opened that desk drawer, there was one thing that captivated me. I pulled out a picture. That picture was a picture of Stephanie. I pulled out that picture. And as I pulled out that picture, it's a picture of her when she was about 10 years old. And I was very humbled and very sober to realize whatever I do is what she becomes in a great way. Whatever she sees in Daddy, however she watches Daddy, what will your children say about you? What do your children say about you? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to come back to Christ. You're not being salt. You're not being salt in your family. You're not being God's seasoning. If you go long enough, you'll become good for nothing. That's not my words. Please listen to me very carefully. That's not my words. That's the words of the one who redeemed us. Oh, dear Father, thank you so much for your grace and your love and your mercy. And Father, thank you that you've called us to be salt. And Lord, you do it in grace. We're to be your seasoning. We're to be that godly difference in a society. And Lord, if we're not the salt, you remind us that there's nothing left. There's absolutely nothing left. Father, how I thank you for your servants. You remind us all through Scripture. One person is enough. One person is enough to be that godly salt. Father, I pray for that person who's here this morning. Maybe they've wandered away from you and they need to return and repent. They're not being what you want them to be in the home. Obedience is not an issue. It's things, it's stuff. Father, you remind us we'll either die your friend or your enemy, even if we're your children. And Father, so many times we poise ourselves for the love of things. And there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they have their proper spot. Oh, dear Spirit of God, remind us afresh, every believer, and Lord, draw whom you will this morning to yourself is our prayer. In Jesus I pray.